I was looking in the book of John this morning, and John chapter 5, I'm going to read the story to you, then I'm going to make a few comments about it. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. And when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man, made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So in this story, we see that here's Jesus. He's in Jerusalem. He's there for the feast. He comes in by the sheep gate. Now, I love this picture. Here's all these people who have infirmities, all these people who have sicknesses, and they're all at this pool, the pool of Bethesda, which is right there at the sheep gate. And they're sitting there and they're waiting because, now, we don't really know what this is. Maybe this is something that had happened once and they were all just waiting, but there was some kind of miracle that obviously had taken place, or at least was spoken of. And so they're all waiting there for the water to be stirred, and then the thought is whoever's the first one in to the water is going to be healed supernaturally. And so Jesus comes in. So here's the picture I want you to see. We're in Jerusalem, which is the center of all of the nation of Israel and the life of Israel. It is the center of all activities. And so the temple is here, and it's a feast, so you know there's a lot of people that are coming. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. So you know that there's Jews that are coming from all over the region to be here in Jerusalem. So it's going to be very crowded. And so there's a lot of people that probably are left here on this day, which we know identifies to us, is a Sabbath day. And so they're all sitting there waiting for this supernatural event to take place so that when they see the water stirred, the first one that can get in will be healed supernaturally. Now, I love the fact that here is these people sitting by the water waiting to be healed. And where are they at? Where's the pool of Bethesda at? It's right by the sheep gate. The sheep gate is the gate where the sheep that were to be brought in, that were to be offered as sacrifices, this is the gate by which those sheep would be entering in. So here comes Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. Here comes Jesus representing that sacrifice for the sins of people, because he is going to be sacrificed for the sins of all people. Here is Jesus, and he enters in through that gate, through the sheep gate. Here is the one that is going to be bringing salvation and represents it. And part of salvation, when you look at the word sozo, salvation, part of it actually means, When you read the definition of the word, it actually in the Greek means healing. Part of that meaning is to be healed, to be made whole. So here's all these people. They're sitting here by the sheep gate. They're waiting to. Their focus is not on the sheep gate, and their focus is not even on the sheep, on the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, who comes in. Here comes the one who's bringing salvation. Here comes the one who is bringing their total healing. And they're not looking at him at all. They're looking, waiting for the waters to be stirred in the pool of Bethesda. They've got their eyes on the wrong thing. So here comes the perfect sacrifice lamb, Jesus Christ, in. And as they're all waiting, no one's looking at him. Now, it says there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, Jesus knows all things. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, listen, even this man who was healed did not come looking to Jesus. He was like everybody else. He missed the fact that the good shepherd and that the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, he missed the fact that the sacrifice lamb, Jesus, had entered in. He's looking at the wrong place. And yet Jesus comes to him. Boy, this just tells you how much Jesus wants us to receive the good things that he has for us. You know, we think that we have to beg and we have to plead and we have to cajole. And if I can get enough people to pray, if I fast long enough, if I get other people to fast with me, if I push hard enough, I can make Jesus. I can do something enough that I can kind of put Jesus in a position where he will then relent and do whatever blessing or do whatever it is that I'm seeking him to do. That's the way we look at it. And you can see here is the exact opposite. Jesus wants us. Desperately wants us to receive and to walk into every good thing that he has for us. Today, Jesus wants you to receive every good thing that he has for you today. Jesus has healing for you today. What are you struggling with? Maybe your allergies are acting up. Maybe this is the time of the year that you always say, well, it's that time of the season. Allergies are going to kick in. Look, that may have been the past, but why can't today be a brand new day? Why can't today be a day of experiencing his victories? Today, in Jesus' name, allergies be gone. Depart. Allergies depart in the name of Jesus. Every symptom of allergies depart in Jesus' name. Why can't today be a brand new day? Jesus wants us to walk into every good thing he has for you today. Maybe it's not a healing issue. Maybe you've got something that is just an emotional issue. You know, maybe you're just struggling with depression, and maybe this has been an ongoing thing. Not denying you've been depressed for the last day, week, month, or whatever the case might be, but why can't today be a different day? See, you don't have to beg Jesus to bring you good things. Every good thing comes from our Father above, and it's been established for us by Jesus, and it's been established by what he's done. Romans chapter 8 tells us, verse number 17 tells us, that we are now joint heirs with Jesus. In all the things that Jesus, in every victory, we are joint heirs with him. In all of his victories, victories over sickness, victories over depression, victories over your emotions, victories over addictions, victories over everything, whatever you face, big or small today. He's already provided, and you already have those. So if you're battling with emotional distress or depression today, and maybe it's been an ongoing battle, why can't today? Why shouldn't today be a brand new day? You don't have to beg Jesus to deliver you. You don't have to do anything, because you can never make God do something he didn't want to do anyway. If we act as though, and sometimes we have the mindset that says, if I just pray long enough, if I pray hard enough, if I fast, if I do whatever, A, B, and C, if I follow these steps, I will make Jesus do this for me. Listen, he's the God. he's the God of all creation. You're not. You can't make Jesus do anything he doesn't want to do. But the good news is, not only does he want you to have all these good things, he's already provided them and established them for you already. Listen, whatever your need is today, you don't have to beg or cajole, try to force Jesus to do something. He's already done it. And we see this demonstrated here in the story in John. Because here is this man who has had an infirmity for 38 years. Look, whatever you're believing Jesus for today, probably you've not had to suffer with it for 38 years. You know, if you're struggling with something that's taking place at work, or maybe there's something that's come up in your marriage, or maybe it's you're just tired of, you know, being single. You know, whatever the case is, you probably have not had to endure this for 38 years. Well, here this man has endured this sickness, this infirmity, this condition for 38 years. And he's still not looking to Jesus. This man didn't have to follow step 1, 2, 3, and 4 and then maybe Jesus would do a blessing. He would do something for him. This man wasn't even looking to Jesus. His eyes weren't even on Jesus. He's not looking at the sheep gate, and he's not looking at the sacrifice lamb. He's looking in the wrong place. And yet this is the heart of Jesus for each one of us. This is the compassion. Jesus saw him lying there, knew he'd already had the condition for a long time, and he said to him, Jesus is the one who approaches the man. And he said to him, do you want to be made well? That's an interesting question, because you think that answer would be self-evident. Well, of course I want to be made well, but that's not always true. Sometimes people become very comfortable in their infirmities or comfortable in the things it's easy for us. Look, I've been there. I spent, when I was born with asthma. And it was bad enough that I was hospitalized several times as a child, multiple times. I used to have to sleep in a tent over my bed with medicine. The tent was a plastic tent because they had all this medicine that was in a vapor form that was just pumped into the tent, so I'd breathe it in all night long. Basically, I was going to see the doctor on a monthly basis. I was getting every kind of injection and pill and all kinds of stuff. And that was my entire life. I mean, I always had asthma, and I identified that was who I was. And I grew up being told, well, you can't do this because you have asthma. Well, no, you can't do that. Here's your limitations. And so I grew up accepting those limitations and accepting that my identity was in that I was an asthmatic. And everything I did in my life was tailored to the fact that I was an asthmatic and I had these symptoms and these things would happen. So I spent my whole life, and they said if I wasn't healed by the time I was 16 years old, if I wasn't delivered, if it didn't go, he didn't say delivered. They said if asthma hadn't cleared up by the time I was 16, I would spend the rest of my life with asthma. Well, I was 18 and hospitalized again for asthma and on heavy doses of drugs. And so at that point, knowing that they had said that, I just accepted the fact that this is who I was. You know, I was going to spend the rest of my life as being an asthmatic. And even when I became saved at 21 years old, when I got saved, and I tried to stand on the Word, and I tried to believe the Word of God, and for many, many years, I would receive prayer. But in my mind, I always thought that I was an asthmatic. And I can look back now, and make a long story short, asthma has not been a part of my life in the last 7-8 years. And that's a different story, but it's through Jesus Christ, and it's through His Word that I've been delivered from it, where I was on heavy medications all of my life. No medications at all. I'm not an asthmatic. I'm a child of Jesus Christ. And so I walk in His healing. And the same thing is true for you and I. But I do understand and I do remember. I remember having that identity of being an asthmatic. It's the way I thought I was. And you can see that this man, when he says, do you want to be made well? Well, that man had to want to be made well. I remember struggling with the idea when I was standing on the Word and believing, I am done with this. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and I was going to stand and fight. I remember thinking, well, it's going to change your world, though, because there's a lot of, it was a crutch that I could fall back on. It was an excuse that I could use for so many different things. And over my life, I had used it as an excuse. I had to accept the fact I was going to lose that crutch. And sometimes those are hard things to do. So I understand that asking the question, do you want to be made well? We might say, well, yes, I do, but there's a part of us that doesn't really, because there's a certain comfort in identifying and having, you know, whatever that hindrance or that crutch or that sickness or that infirmity, whatever that is. There's a certain desire to keep it, because there is, in our own minds, we perceive it as a benefit. Of course, it never is. It never is. It's nothing but a hindrance. But for Jesus to ask that man, do you want to be made well? Well, he needed to know that this man truly wanted to be made well. The sick man answered him, sir. Notice he didn't answer right away. Not a direct answer anyway. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. So again, you're still not looking. Here, your answer is right in front of you. It's Jesus Christ. You're still not looking. Do you want to be made well? Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, here's the reason that Jesus said that. This man didn't come to Jesus. So this man was not looking to Jesus with faith in Jesus. There must be faith on our part. Jesus moves through our faith. Now, he's already established everything, but it has to be through our faith. And every time you see Jesus doing something in someone's life, they have to have a demonstration. They must act in faith. There must be faith action. And so since this man, he wasn't looking to Jesus, he didn't run to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. I believe that you can heal me, heal me. He didn't say that. He wasn't even looking at Jesus. Jesus is the one who approached him. So he had to give the man an opportunity after he identifies that, listen, do you want to be made well? He is giving this man a chance to act on faith. And he says, here's how he can put his faith into action. He said, rise. In other words, do what you can't do by yourself, because he just said he couldn't get into the water because of his infirmity. Rise, take up your bed. In other words, don't be stuck here anymore. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Do what you couldn't do before. And immediately the man was made well. In other words, that man believed it and he stretched his faith. He tried to do something that he couldn't do. He tried to get up and walk, which he couldn't do on his own. This is the action of faith. And immediately he was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Now, we'll look at that more and more later, but here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Whatever it is that you are struggling with today, it doesn't have to be an infirmity. It can be an emotional thing. It can be a financial thing. It can be a job thing. It can be an addiction. Whatever it is that you have or you're dealing with today, Jesus has provided your answer for you. And you don't have to cajole him. You don't have to force him. You don't have to do something to make Jesus. Remember, this man did not come to Jesus. Jesus came to him. Jesus wants for you to walk in to every good thing he has for you. He wants you to walk into the deliverances that you need and that you desire today. He wants you to be made whole in him today. It is his desire. You don't have to force him. All you have to do is come in faith to where he is. He's already come to you. Just turn and look to him. Turn and in faith, look to him and believe and watch what he does with you.